Hey, I'm back in LA.
Are you excited to be back?
I'm very excited to be back.
Shirt that you're wearing right now, it's a little tight.
Thank you. It says hooray.
No, I mean it's a little tight, like it's constricting. Like
it's both. It's
okay.
Both.
Well, on a non-dissing me note, it says hooray for health heroes, because I believe in that. Our friend Amanda Klutz, who is the widow of the late Nick Cordero, has been selling all these awesome shirts, hooray for different things. And she gave me hooray for health heroes because she knows I love health heroes.
Love it.
And to give her a plug, I'm sure, I don't know what the link is, but if you put in Amanda Klutz, hooray for ... t-shirts, I think some of the money goes to a really good cause. And of course, some of the money goes to helping her live without her husband.
Amen.
Right on. How are you guys? How are you guys doing after this wonderful weekend that we just had?
Happy to be home.
Happy to be home. We're all finally back in LA
together. Did you just land, Zach, today?
I landed late last night, and I know it is smoky here. It does. If you don't live in LA, it smells kind of like the whole place smells like a campfire. And there's this weird haze that the sun comes through and kind of gives everything a weird Instagrammy filter.
Right. It's like if you were a photographer and you didn't want to go through the normal white balancing, you might use daylight. And usually that makes your pictures really orange. That's what it's like outside.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've lived here through all of these fires, you're probably used to it. But I was gone so long, and now I'm finally back, and it's eerie. It does kind of look like there's this filter over everything. And of course you smell it, and occasionally fire choppers fly by over my house. I'm told the closest one is Pasadena to us. Is that right, guys? Do you know?
Yeah, it's the Bobcat Fire.
But if you look on a map of California where they show there's fires, it looks like the entire state is on fire. It's just insane.
Well, it's not just California. Oregon is experiencing fires, like in a bunch of places.
Colorado
the whole
as well.
Colorado, the West Coast is on fire right now, to be honest with you. Everything west is in the United States is burning, man. This thing is like, it's just, you know. Smoke field after smoke field, you know what I mean?
We needed that. I mean, I remember when the COVID first started and someone put on, there was some announcement that bears were coming out of the woods because of looking for food because people weren't leaving their houses. And someone put on Twitter something like, "Not now, bears." And that's kind of how I feel about the fires. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like we already have an apocalypse going. You're bringing fires now?
Yeah,
I mean, if there is a,
here comes the flood too. Did you hear about the piece of ice, double the size of Manhattan, that's just broken off from the Arctic ice thing, and it's just floating along in the ocean now. Eventually, the size of two Manhattans. Two Manhattans.
If there is a higher power, it does feel like he or she is trying to get rid of us.
Well, we're helping. We're helping.
Yeah.
No, we're definitely helping, but doesn't it feel like these are just plagues? And you know, George Carlin had this amazing bit about how the Earth and Mother Earth is way more powerful than the humans are, like little ants on its back, and it's just going to like swat them off eventually, and then some other animal, it'll be their turn to rule Earth. But you can Google that. It's super articulate and genius, as George Carlin was. But I've been thinking about that bit lately because I'm like, the Earth or a higher power or something feels like it's like, all right, fuck humans, enough.
Yeah. We've been fucking it up for too long. This is, this is the results of our own greed.
I like to think there's a sci-fi movie that could chronologically tell the tale of this planet. Like, what if we aren't the, you know what I mean? Like, they're just figuring out that there could be life on Venus, right? They just figured that out. It's possible that the atmosphere has bacteria in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like, what if we were at Venus first? We were Venus, and then we fucked that planet up, and somehow we got to Earth. We're about to fuck that planet up, this planet up, and we're going to terraform Mars, And that's the next stop for our civilization to begin. And we're just hopping through the galaxy, freaking in almost like we're a bacteria, dude. Shit's crazy, dude, right? When you think about it. Anyway.
Right. And we're going to need, and the sun's burning out anyway. So, I mean, it all has an end date even
billions of years from now. Yeah, years from now.
I know, but guys, worst case scenario, we're going to die off before the sun burns off. But the sun is, there is an end date, you know? The sun is going to run out. I want you to know something, two things. My publicist gifted me something.
Is it, oh my God, she got you the fucking simulator. Is it the simulator?
No. Calm down. Everybody calm down. But I want you to know, and I want all the fans to know the level of friend that I am. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's not coming for 3 weeks, but it's mega.
It's a fucking simulator, dude.
No, it's not a simulator. And don't guess.
But I already know what it is.
Please stop guessing. I just want you to know something. She scored me something very, very special and expensive. And I said, I couldn't possibly take that unless you got Donald one too. And she said, hold on, I'm on it. And that was like a month ago.
Wow.
And she just texted me today. She scored you one too.
Ooh. Thank you for the new Xbox.
It's not an Xbox. It's doper than an Xbox. But don't guess. When I want the fans and listeners, you will be the first. I'm gonna arrange it so when it comes, you open it on the podcast.
I've always wanted a Tesla. I truly appreciate it.
No. You went too high with Tesla and you went too low with Xbox. It's somewhere in between a Tesla and an Xbox. The second thing I gotta tell you is that I ordered a Peloton and it arrived while I was gone.
Congratulations. Amazing.
And so I did my first, I'm so out of shape. All I did was eat fish and chips and drink over there in the United Kingdom. And I have love handles, and I'm not down with that. So they're going to be gone thanks to my new Peloton.
What do you think?
But listen, I want to tell you, I chose an instructor. I chose the – I don't know if you've used the – I think he's a British Asian guy.
No.
But my point is that he's got your exact tattoo. He's got a Superman. Well, you're getting rid of it, right?
It's pretty much gone. All right,
well, Donald had, he got when he was very young, a Superman tattoo on his arm. And he's had it his whole life, or since he was young. And he's didn't like it anymore. He's getting rid of it. But I take my first spin class on my Peloton, and I get on, and there, in the exact same spot as yours, the darn fella had a Superman tattoo.
I love that.
That's cool.
And now it was kismet.
And now you've just opened up the DC universe for me, and we can get into that before we. No,
it's a Scrubs podcast.
I'm just joking.
And then it's also about our friends.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. You and Joelle are perfectly ready and able to go do the Marvel DC Star Wars podcast.
Can't wait.
All right. Let's count us in.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is about sex, sex, sex.
It's more this episode has a lot of sex in it. But this it's more
episode
than just sex.
Is titillating. One of those episodes that if you walked in and your kids were watching it, you would either, if they were young enough, say turn that off, or if they were of an age to watch it, you would leave the room because there is fucking in this episode.
Well, and there's a lot of tongue fighting in this episode.
Yeah, now I want to get right into that. But do you want to do your summary? Because I do want to talk about the tongue in this episode. Yeah. There's a lot of tongue.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, let me get my timer out.
It's going to be long.
No, 30 seconds. That's the game, remember? And go.
Everyone has secrets. JD knows and is helping Jordan keep her baby's father's identity a secret. JD also secretly sexed up Tasty Coma wife. Turk's having sex dreams about Elliot and wants to keep it a secret from Carla. And Dr. Cox is secretly hating the time Jordan is making him spend with his kid he doesn't even know is his own. In order to keep a secret, you often have to tell a lie. And when you tell one lie, it leads to another and another. Whether it's to protect yourself or someone other than you, lying, although easy, isn't the wisest choice. Yes, sometimes the truth hurts, but the pain of guilt and regret is immeasurable and can last a lifetime when your secret and or lie is uncovered, especially when it hurts the one you were trying to protect.
Okay. All now, right. Let's say the game was Donald, do it in 49 seconds. You nailed it.
Right on. I love that. Right on.
You nailed it. No, that was good. That was good. Well, I put at the top of my thing, I wrote all my notes, and then as I was kind of looking them over, I just wrote sex on the top of my pad because there's a lot of sex, there's a lot of horniness, there's a lot of pent-up libidos in this episode.
Absolutely. But if you notice, everything that's fucked up in this all comes from someone either lying or keeping a secret from the other person. It's fine to be sexual and everything like that, but when you start keeping secrets in sex or you start lying about sex, that's when usually stuff starts to go the wrong way.
But I mean, why would Turk or why would you or why would anyone tell their lover that they had a sex dream about their female friend? That just seems like a horrible idea.
Well, the minute that Turk told Elliot.
Yeah,
that
horrible
he had,
idea. Why did you do that? She's a blabbermouth. We know Elliot's a blabbermouth.
Not only that, what are you trying to start? So you want to be starting something? Are you saying that shit so that Elliot would be like, you know what? I've been thinking about you too, Turk. Right. I've always wanted BBC. You know what I mean? Like, is that what happens?
BBC.
Is that what he was expecting to happen?
Yeah. I doubt Elliot's ever had BBC.
You're talking about the British network, right?
Yeah, Little British Network. Yeah. Now, I have to jump right to that fantasy of you guys because I had multiple emotions.
Okay.
No, we're going to go back, but okay. It's the headline. For everyone who doesn't remember, this is the episode where Sarah is in, like, the sexiest leather nurse stripper outfit.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's on Donald. And Donald's having a sex dream about her. Turk's having a sex dream about her. And they really go at it. Now, I had mixed emotions. One, I was like, okay, damn, Sarah, because she's got the stocking thing with the garter belt. I don't know. What do you call those things when it's like a strap that holds the stockings up?
A panty.
What do you call it, Joel?
Garter belt.
Garter belts. I don't even know that purpose of the damn thing, but it looked great.
It's to keep the stockings up. You said it, right?
Okay. Well, her stockings are up. And she's kissing on you, and I just got to know, what was that like? I mean, you discussed on the show that you weren't getting too many opportunities outside of the beautiful and talented Judy Reyes, and there's your friend Sarah Chalk in a naughty outfit mounting you, kissing on you.
I'm going to tell you something right now. When we were filming it, it felt horrible because it was like kissing my sister.
And I don't believe that. I don't believe you.
Okay, but I'm telling you, that when doing that, it was like, oh my God, I'm kissing my sister. I love Sarah Chalk so much that it is like my family when I'm around her. And at this point in the series, we had spent so much time together. Mm. We had spent so much time together that it was no longer, you know, when I first saw Sarah, obviously I was like, holy cow, she's hot. When I first saw Judy, holy cow, she's hot. But at this point, she is my sister. And so I remember doing the scene and being like, oh, my God. And not this is gross, but this is work. Let's approach this as professionals and, you know, make it through.
I don't think you're lying, but I also don't think that you thought it was uncomfortable as it would be.
It was very uncomfortable. I remember. Yeah, it was one of those uncomfortable feelings where it was like, it felt dirty, but not in a good dirty way. You know what I mean?
It felt bad dirty.
It felt bad dirty. Like, this doesn't feel right at all.
And you didn't have any twitching or movement, I take it.
There was no twitching or movement. And I love Sarah, and I think she's beautiful and hot. But at that time, when shooting this, there was nothing happening.
Okay. Now, when I saw it today,
I was like, oh, wow, look at the chemistry Sarah and I have.
Yep.
The kiss was passionate. It felt, you know what I mean? Everything about it felt sexual and not taboo-ish, but like sexual and, well, I guess taboo-ish because you're not supposed to be thinking about stuff like that when you're engaged. And I totally understand if there were people out there that caught feelings when watching it.
Yeah,
I understand why, because it was hot.
I had multiple emotions going on. I had one that was like, wow, that's kind of hot. I mean, Sarah looked great, and you know, you two going at it was sort of naughty and taboo, like you said. But then I had a little bit like, why is Donald making out with my TV girlfriend? Like, I was a little jealous.
Oh, you got a little jealous.
I had a little tinge of like, get your fucking hands off my TV girlfriend.
Did you ever see The Last Dragon?
No.
You've never seen The Last Dragon?
The Last Dragon. No, I've not seen The Last
Dragon.
Please
see The Last Dragon. Please, I'm begging you.
Who's
to
in it?
See The Last Dragon.
Who plays the dragon?
This dude. This dude, Timok. It's Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon, okay?
Okay.
Berry Gordy started Motown. Mm-hmm. You know what Motown is, right?
Come on, buddy.
Okay, I'm just saying. Put out such artists at like Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Michael Jackson,
you
the Supremes.
You don't have to list Motown artists, for fuck's sake. There.
Okay. He made a movie. He produced a movie called The Last Dragon about Bruce Leroy, the protector of Harlem, the kung fu protector of Harlem. And there's only one person in his path that is trying to stop him from being the one protector of Harlem, and that is Shonuff. And Shonuff is the Shogun of Harlem. And he is the prettiest, and he is the baddest. And there's kung fu in it. There's music in it.
Is it like a blaxploitation movie?
I guess you could say that. I don't think they meant to do that when they were making it. It was meant to be taken, you know, as a real story, but with comedy and action and adventure. But I'm telling you right now, in my youth growing up, this was a huge movie. So anybody out there listening, if you haven't seen The Last Dragon and you want to laugh and you want to, you know, see some really cool action and you want to hear some witty lines and stuff like that, please get it. But there's a line in it where it doesn't make sense if you haven't seen the movie, but there's a line in it where Vanity, God rest her soul, rest in peace, is being kidnapped. And this young man who plays Bruce Leroy's brother, God rest his soul, he also passed away, yells at the kidnapper, "Hey, get your hands off my woman." And the dude looks at him like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me." And he gets even louder. "I said, get your hands off my woman." And so when you got jealous about me kissing on Sarah, it made me think of, get your hands off my woman. I digress. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know what to say to that long, epic anecdote. But yes, Donald, that is how I felt. I felt like, get your hands off my woman. Now, I want to talk about movie kissing because there's times when you do a movie kiss and you just sort of both open your mouths, but there's no tongue. And then there's times when you do a movie kiss and between the two actors, it just, you kind of get lost in it and it becomes like a real French kiss. I noticed that in yours, there wasn't really any visible tongue.
Yeah, you know, but there was a lot of lip, and which is also really sexy. You know
right.
what I mean?
But I'm telling you I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because in my sex scene, I'm embarrassed to tell you there's a lot of visual tongue. And I don't think there should be. I think it's too much. I think Amy Smart and I got a little lost in the moment.
That's fine.
But I kind of cringed when I was like, oh, buddy, nobody wants to be seeing tongues.
No, you know what? There was a moment in time where that was sexy, and when in movies you kind of woo.
I can rationalize it a little bit, though. It was so naughty and so taboo. We're literally fucking in the storage closet of the funeral home where her husband is being put in
laid
a coffin.
Laid to rest.
And so it was so wrong and taboo and up against the wall and just like, it wasn't making love, it was fucking. And so there was this extra passion and hunger.
Yeah, not only that, the fact that JD decides to mask or deceive the people who hear Amy Smart's character moan in the closet as if something fell on his head, something hit his hand or something like that.
Amy's character has an orgasm and she lets out this loud yell, and then I come out and say, "Something fell on my foot." And then I recreate her orgasm being like, "Ah!"
perfectly, no, too.
It, but it's not like you didn't go, oh, it was like, oh. Like, it was like,
funny. That's funny. It's like, I tell everyone at the funeral home, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Something fell on my foot. And then I'm like, I was like, oh my God. That was so naughty. I mean, think about what we're doing on fucking primetime NBC back in the day. I'm still shocked this was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like now that would be like not something you'd put in primetime on NBC, but I don't know. It was good. It was funny as shit.
Well, you got to remember, there weren't all of these other networks.
Streaming services.
You know what I mean?
I always say that. And Bill was trying to push the envelope of what you could do. But man, did he. I mean, I just can't imagine. You know, we hear about people's kids watching Scrubs nowadays on Hulu or wherever they're finding it. And I remember Matt Tarsis, who's one of our friends and writers, said that he walked into the room and his kids were watching Scrubs and he circled right back and walked out because it was something so risque like this. I can't imagine your kids are watching Assault Bang.
The whole cold opening is hilarious, man.
When so you good. Really look, when it's you a really, great episode.
Yeah,
great
I episode. Laughed really hard. I mean, when you look at it, you know, the whole massage thing and how Jordan wants him to watch the kids so she could get a massage. I can relate to that. Everybody needs a massage. You know what I mean? Johnny, yeah. You know what I mean? Also, Johnny looking like baby Lex Luthor. That yeah. had me rolling. You know what I mean?
That was funny.
He looked like Lex Luthor was a baby. Like, yeah. You know, anyway, Todd deciding, you know, that he was going to take a toozy after he worked out instead of yeah. before he worked out.
So just to remind those of you who didn't watch it, it's really clever. They present all the lead characters with some sort of thing they're doing. Kelso's in tight shoes. Todd doesn't know if he wants the dookie before or after his workout. Every
the janitor's defibrillating, pretending he's a doctor and is defibrillating a mop dressed up like a patient.
Yep, and Aloma, Nurse Roberts, is repairing a copy machine. And all of these people have their own things they're involved in. And then it all culminates with everyone screaming for a different reason. It was so, so clever the way that was all done.
Very clever. I laughed so hard at Kelso looking at his foot with the blood after the shoes were too small. Ah! Yeah.
What about Sam Lloyd?
Sam Lloyd in the
looks
mirror.
In the mirror. He hasn't looked in the mirror at himself in a long time and he screams at himself. Oh man, a really, really good episode. And so many things. It's another one. God, season two was great. I got to say, we really hit our stride here because there's so many things. I mean, we'll get to them all, but there's a whole bunch of things in this episode that are like really memorable moments from all 9 years. So I really like my fall down the stairs.
I wrote that down. Great pratfall.
Thank you
for the cold open. Also,
that really took a dive. That was a nice one.
Amazing.
I wish they didn't cut away from me. I mean, I wish they had done the classic JD fall and then pop back up because they cut to Amy's reaction. Of course, it makes sense to cut to a reaction, but you could have easily have just done me big fall, obviously hit a mat without anyone seeing, and then pop right back up like nothing happened.
But there's a bunch of moments in that whole scene where it's jokes that are similar to that, where it's like misleading, where she's like, you want to go get a drink? And you're like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why is there a bar at this funeral home, first of all? Have you ever been to a funeral that wasn't, I know like at like when people go back to their house, they have booze, but like this funeral home has waiters serving booze. Is that a thing?
I don't know that it is a thing. I've been to a
Joelle,
bar after
you look like
a
you're thinking about it. Have you ever been to a funeral where they served booze with entrees?
I know I think it would help. Wakes do. I would love to hear from our Irish fans. Is this a horrible stereotype I've been taught as an American, or do you guys actually do booze at your funerals? Like, is it?
No, I know when everyone goes home. Like we Jews have shiva, which is, and I know that other denominations have wakes, but there's booze there.
But not at the funeral.
There were waiters not with trays.
I just don't think that would be a good thing to do. You've seen some of the things that happen at African-American funerals. I just couldn't imagine serving booze at the funeral because, you know, shit jumps off, period. I couldn't imagine liquor.
Swinging.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't imagine liquor.
Yeah, and it'd be a bad idea because, you know, the people who have to speak would get up and get – they're already emotional enough. They don't need booze to make them
– Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. No,
but it was funny. I mean, I she goes, you should get a drink, and I grab one off the tray, and she goes, no, that guy's bussing those drinks, JD. You have to order from him. And I spit it back up in my cup and I go, somebody's a smoker. I guess, does that mean he ashed in his drink? I don't know.
I think there was a cigarette butt in the drink.
I laughed. I laughed. Yeah. I didn't even know what the joke was. I didn't know if he had put his cigarette. That happened to me once. I was a kid and I reached for a Coke can I thought was mine, and I chugged it, and it had been like someone's ashtray for like a week.
Oh, gosh.
Whoa.
Now,
you know I'm a fan of the lip bite. I've mentioned that as it pertains to Alicia Silverstone in Clueless. By the way, Flo was watching Clueless on the plane. She had never seen
it.
Get out of here.
There you go, shout Donald.
Big ups. Did she like it?
Yeah, well, I wasn't watching with her, but I saw her laughing, and we were talking about some of your finest moments. But speaking of Alicia Silverstone and lip bites, Amy Smart does an epic lip bite at 3:50. I don't know if you caught that. It's kind of what kicks everything off. I'm trying to be respectful at the funeral, and she does like a big old classic Alicia Silverstone lip bite.
And then you guys crash into the
and
wall.
And then it hard cuts to banging in the closet.
Yes.
Do you think anyone's ever had sex during a funeral?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Absolutely. For sure. Yes.
Why?
Absolutely.
Because like emotions are high, and I mean,
no, because people, people listen, man. Some people aren't who they say they are. Also,
what?
Now let's keep it 100. And some people are who they say they are. I'm saying there are people that have been at the funeral and have buried their spouse at that moment and was having sex within 5 seconds of the spouse at the funeral. I don't think this is something that has never happened before.
Well, what's
I'm
funny?
I'm sure this has happened several times. I don't think this is statistically. I'm sure this is something that has happened often.
Well, if you're someone who knows of sex at a funeral, please write us on our social medias or email Joelle, because we would love to have you on the show. We don't want any liars, so you have to. It's the honor system. But we would love to hear the tale of how you banged at a funeral. By the way, one of my favorite lines in Scrubs history, and I know Bill loves this line.
Oh, my God. No, we don't. What? I don't want to hear the tale of how someone banged at a funeral.
Okay, I do.
I do. I do.
Oh, my God. You guys are crazy.
I do. I want to hear all the gossip. I'm like a Loma in this episode who's sliding all around the hospital.
Right all over the place. Right.
Oh, my God. Nurse Roberts is so funny in this episode. Anytime there's gossip, she rolls up in her chair, and they speed it up. So she's like,
also,
I just wanted to say that I always love this line, and I know Bill loves this line because we've quoted it to each other when I go a little bit Woody-ish. Jamie, there are a lot of ways to grieve, but last time I checked, wheelbarrow style wasn't one of them. Which means that not only – we didn't even have just like – standing up against the wall sex, we got to like wheelbarrow style.
You guys had dirty sex. You guys in the closet at the funeral, you guys were doing freaking tricks.
Can you imagine? We weren't just like, oh, let's have a quickie against the wall. We were like, okay, now let's do wheelbarrow
style. Right.
This is a girl.
Like it just gets
handstand?
Out of control. It just gets out of control like freaking Team America. Like it starts off and you're like, oh, the puppets are having sex. And then they start doing weird poses, and then he shits on the puppet. Like, yeah. Then the puppet shits on the other puppet.
Oh,
like,
my God. I got to watch that movie again, but I do remember when the puppets shit on each other. I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. But I think, Joelle, are you asking what wheelbarrow style
is? Listen, because when I saw your hand motion, which was essentially like a wheelbarrow race, like you've got her by the hips, like
I think I'm holding. She, I think, is as I understand wheelbarrow style, is the receiver of the wheelbarrow style has their hands. No, Dan's getting up. I'll do it for you. You got your hands like on a desk like this, like I have. And then the person who's giving the wheelbarrow would be holding up the legs, maybe by the thighs. So they're kind of in a plank. The person receiving is sort of in a plank position, Joelle.
This is like so much more impressive because you guys were doing it in a closet.
Yeah, of a funeral home during her husband's funeral.
Yeah, then her husband's funeral. Wow. With Jamie, mops and
Jamie, there's
and
a lot of ways to grieve, but I'm pretty sure that wheelbarrow style isn't one of them.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then, dude.
The janitor's penis.
How the hell? How the hell does that? What luck JD has that in the middle of driving home, he realizes I got he realizes, oh shit, I got to piss. Why didn't I take the pee before I left? But the luck of him running up to a house and it being the janitor's house, and not only the janitor's house, but the janitor's bathroom window where he's showering.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a coincidence, but we got to take a break. We're going to be right back to talk about the janitor's penis.
And we're back.
So we know a couple things. It's safe to assume that the janitor has a very large penis.
Yeah, the head movement that JD makes, you know how to insinuate that it's long. He does the old tilt the head to insinuate that it's
right.
long.
Now, we know that he sees a potentially dangerous melanoma on the janitor's penis. But of course, it's of course a TV show. The odds that JD has to pull over and take a piss outside the janitor's bathroom window, we'll allow that to happen. We'll go with the what's that word I'm thinking of?
Suspend our
creative license.
Sure. So we'll suspend our disbelief or whatever.
Yes, but isn't that the term creative license? A term too?
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, so we'll allow that. Suspension of disbelief is probably a better way to say it.
And it works for the joke later on where JD has to explain to him how he saw his
God, that dialogue is so funny. I think it's on Scrubs Wiki. Let me just try and read it to you because it's the wording is so funny. I got to be straight with you. I saw your penis and I noticed a possible melanoma that you should really have checked out. He says, "When did you see my penis?" I say, "Last night when you were showering." He says, "Where were you?" I say, "I was outside in the bushes." And he goes, and I go, "Look, it was a coincidence, man. I mean, if you'd looked out the window, you'd have seen my penis, you know?" And he goes, "What? Why?" And he goes, and I go, "Because I had it out while I was looking at yours." Oh my God, that's so funny. So funny. So but we have a nice, it leads to a nice moment. Of course, one of the greatest jokes in Scrubs history. Don't worry, it's benign. And he goes, benign
and
a half.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote that joke in the Scrubs writers room, but I'm very proud of them. But actually becomes a nice moment with the janitor. It feels like it's the first moment where he genuinely thanks me.
Yeah. Sure.
And then I thank him and he goes, "Get your hand off." Yeah, right.
And then it's back to normal.
Yeah.
Turk smacks Elliot on the ass.
Now, I have a question about that. That's clearly a Turk fantasy. Do other characters often have fantasies besides JD?
Yeah, it happens. We've had this conversation before. Yeah.
It's not often, but it's occasional.
Occasionally, one of the other cast members will fantasize something else.
So you're still, Turk is still fucking like, horny like when, for Elliot.
Dude, have you ever had a sex dream about anyone?
Of course, but I'm saying that it
and
wasn't
And then
like,
after you had the sex dream about said person, what happened?
I thought about them the next day, and that's clearly what's happened with Turk. He's staring at Elliot longingly, and then he fantasizes that she's bending over, and Sarah, by the way, Sarah really leaned into the naughties in this. I mean, I feel like Sarah Chalk, the actress, often plays like the goody two-shoes girl. And now in this, they were like, "We need you to just be randy and crazy." And she was like, "Okay," because she's like bending over and putting her butt in the air. And
see, this whole episode is like a temptation by the dark side, man. It's like, it's, even the conversations that we're having right now about the episode are everything is turning towards, you know, things that we're trying to not talk about. And I think we need to just let it aside and say this is the episode that we talk about the shit. Because what you just said, look, I think that Turk definitely still after the day was over and had gone on into being married to Carla. There were times where he was like, "Let me go to the mental Rolodex." And there was that time where I fantasized about Elliot. You know what I mean? On times when him and Carla aren't on the same page, you know what I mean?
Right.
I definitely feel like, you know, I feel like that's what fantasies are for. I feel like that's what's supposed to happen.
But would you get jealous? Like, if Casey told you, oh my God, babe, I had this incredible sex dream about some celebrity, would you be jealous?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would think she would be jealous about me having sex dreams about someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, man. This whole episode, it's like the fact that Turk decided to tell Elliot about the dream, that's crossing the line right there. You're supposed to keep that to yourself, man.
Right.
You're not supposed to go on into that. You know, and
especially the person. I mean, who would ever tell the person? You told the person.
And then told her to keep it a secret, like, and don't tell Carla.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. What are you trying to get out of this? What is it that you're going for?
I think if the person isn't threatening, it's one thing. Like, if your girlfriend was like, oh, I had a sex dream about someone and it was kind of funny and it wasn't someone that you would necessarily feel like jealous of or something, it'd be one thing.
I'd be jealous of anyone. I'd be jealous of anyone, though.
Well, actually, Carla has a sex dream about Sam Lloyd.
And I don't think she would tell Turk, because Turk would definitely be like, wait a second, you have feelings for Sam?
The lawyer?
I mean, for the lawyer? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So keep it to yourself. That's the message we're telling you here at Fake Doctors. If you dream about having a sex dream that's someone that isn't your partner, maybe just keep it to yourself.
Right. Now, if you don't have a partner and you're trying to start something, go for yours, man. Shoot, that's
I don't know if that's a good pickup line. Like, hey, I had a sex dream about you.
Some people want to hear that shit.
I know, but it might be taken.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Okay, let me just say this, and this is why I disagree with what you just said. If I was a single man and
impossible.
Impossible. But if I was a single man and Casey's first thing she ever said to me when we met was, I had a sex dream about you last night. That shit would work on me in a heart. I'd be like, oh, word?
Of course.
So then what are you talking about? Nobody wants to hear that shit.
I don't know. Maybe it's different coming from a woman. I just feel like if a man's pickup line to a woman was, you know, I had a sex dream about. I mean, it'd be like creepy.
It depends on who the woman is.
It depends if she on wants, who if the she man is.
Yes.
Who's the man?
There it is. That too. Line. There we go.
And how and when and how far into our relationship. A lot of factors. It could work.
I know. It just feels like it really steps. It has the potential to step into inappropriate territory unless you have a good relationship and you're close and you can. Yeah.
Or if you just want to shoot your shot.
I just think it's a bad, if you want to shoot your shot, I think it's a bad shot to take. I think it's a horrible, like,
Some people don't have filters and are like, I'm going to shoot my shot. I know exactly what to say.
You know, good luck with that one. Just be prepared to accept the rejection.
Yeah. And but also be prepared to,
you're
going to
get disregarded. Hold on. Okay, but no. Okay, so now, right. Well, that's at work. We're talking about at work and stuff like that.
Well, I'm just talking about in life. I think it's a pretty stupid shot to take if that's your shot. Agreed. Now, let's say you guys are grooving and you smooch a little, and then you're like, hey, can I tell you something kind of embarrassing? But since we're kissing, I had the craziest dream about you. Like, that's different. You know?
Agreed.
No.
What are you smiling at?
I disagree. I think this is all.
I think that's a horrible shot to take.
Dude. I didn't say it was the right shot. I just said, unless you want to shoot your shot, and this is your steez. I don't think it's wrong to ask somebody out on a date or to express your feelings to someone.
I would never say yes to that.
But there's definitely a right way and a wrong. Well, not there's definitely a way to do it that will get the attention that you are looking for, and there's a way to, you know, get the attention that you're not looking for. And I feel like go for yours, period.
Okay. You know? I don't know how to dismount this conversation.
I don't know how either, man.
Let's talk about the Germans. Let's talk about the Germans. There's a lot of, I mean, probably the gif I see most throughout the creation of gifs is the 99 lift balloons dance with me and the German.
Yes.
Now, people love that. 99 lift balloons.
You know why I love that song?
Right.
I love that song because John Forte made the remake. Bum, ba, 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 ba. Bum, ba, 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 ba. Me and my da-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
we flip the dough with the money we got. The block stays hot. Da-da-da-da-da. And something's out there. Da-da-da-da-da. Yo, that shit is fire,
good sample
man.
Fodder,
I remember that. Yeah, that was, dude. That, well, it was back in the day when everybody was sampling something, and John Forte had that. That's my introduction to that song. I didn't know that song before that.
Well, this is the German version. Now, there's some really funny stuff. Now, obviously, if you watch the show, you know that Sarah speaks German very well, and there's some very funny stuff about these two actors. On Scrubs Wiki, it says, viewers fluent in German have noted that Sarah Chalk actually speaks much better German in the episode than the German characters. And then they say neither of the actors playing the Mueller or Mueller, whatever it is, brothers actually spoke German. Soren Hellerup is Danish. And while Ingo Neuhaus has a German name and was born in Germany, he grew up in America. Both mostly deliver their lines phonetically with multiple grammatical errors. So I thought that was funny that Sarah, who speaks German really well, I don't know why the hell they couldn't find two guys who were fluent in German in Hollywood, but I guess they couldn't. And Sarah's German is way better than the two actors. Don't you think that's funny?
It would be even funnier is if the two guys pulled one over on the casting directors and pretended that they were speaking German in the audition, and they got the part.
Right, or just said they speak German.
And then when they got there, and they're doing the shit, and neither one of them is reacting, they're like, there's a moment where it's like, oh, we're on the same. It's like when I told you I took all of those dance classes last episode, I only took like two or three dance classes, and that was enough to put it on my resume. So I imagine those guys like, I'm fluent in German, and really all they could speak were a few.
Actors always do that. They're like, can you ride horseback? Well, and they're like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have been on a horse.
Right. The real answer is, did I get the job?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know,
can you
so
ride
hard,
a horse? Did I get the job?
It's so hard to get a job as an actor that when someone's like, okay, great audition. You do speak German fluently, right?
Absolutely.
Sure I do.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, we'll worry about that later. We'll worry about that horseback riding later.
Yeah, we'll get to that part. That's when you call your friend up right away. All right, I need you to teach me everything you know about German. Everything you know.
I remember when I was a kid, I was up for a part as a kid, and they were like, it was for to be on a hockey team, and they were like, you play hockey, right? And I'm like, yes, I do. I love hockey. I love all the positions. Yeah, so anyway, I just think it's funny that of all the actors in Hollywood, they found two guys. Now, we wouldn't know, of course, unless you speak German. Another funny thing about this is Scrubs was very popular in Germany. So they had to figure out, well, if all the actors in the show are dubbed in German, in Germany, what do you do with this bilingual moment? So it says that in the German translation of the episode, the Germans are Danes, and Elliot speaks Danish.
Oh, wait. So hold on then.
So no. It's just how they dubbed it, you know, because in Germany, I believe they dub. They don't subtitle. So the point is that, okay, so in the German version, everyone's German. So you can't have a bit with the guy not speaking the language everyone's speaking. So they just dubbed that section as Danish. You know,
they should have dubbed it as American. That would have been funny.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Coulda.
And on that note, y'all, we gonna go to break. We got someone coming in. We don't know who it is, but they're coming in.
Let's hope this guest is better, Joelle. I mean, it was a horrible.
I don't know if you saw.
Guys, let's not
say horrible.
Let's just say not the usual fake doctor, real friend type of guest.
Well, you know, I saw a lot of our listeners' comments, and I really agreed. They were like, "That was cringe."
Yes.
Why? What's wrong with that woman?
Guys, but that's bullying, man. There's nothing wrong with that woman. She's got her own life, yo. She was doing her thing.
I'm not bullying her, but she took a slot from someone who's campaigning. We had that one guy on. He writes every day, and she took a slot. And something she wasn't interested in.
So I'm just saying, I don't think it was horrible. I just think it was not the fake doctor's real friend call that we're used to.
I don't like it when our guests are cringy. I mean, there was talk for a second about, should we just cut it out? But I wanted to just leave it so that people know that we don't really like even when things don't work, we want to like just show it. But we could have just cut it out. It was so cringe.
It was not great.
Joelle, did you slam the mug on the ground?
I did. It shattered in a million pieces.
Good. Thank you. Send her the pieces.
Speaking of mugs, holy cow.
Oh, yeah. A lot of merch. A lot of merch coming.
New merch up, y'all. All right. So check it out.
Oh, wait. The merch is up, by the way. By the time this airs, there'll be a t-shirt up.
Masks are back.
Yeah. Mugs are restocked.
Mugs are restocked. T-shirts are in the house.
Now, I want you guys to know, I know we promised a lot of wacky ideas for merch, and some of that's coming. Washcloths, beach towels with me and Donald's faces on it are coming. But just to kind of get the store up and running, we've just got some standard stuff. The t-shirt you'll see is our logo. But I don't want you saying like, oh, but what about all the wacky stuff you promised? In time, we got to open up the store. I don't know about the Doc Leo t-shirt. Probably won't clear legal, but unless we do the Leo astrological sign, and only the insiders will know.
As I was saying, that is nuts, and that is subliminal.
You added an extra syllable there.
That is subliminal.
Yes.
I like subliminal better.
That sounds like mush mouth.
No, because it would be subliminal. I can't do it. Subliminal. I like that.
Let me just finish what the shirt would be. It would be the word, it would say I'd. Then there'd be the icon of like a dock, like a traditional dock on a lake. And then the Leo astrological sign. I'd dock Leo.
Nah, man. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all.
I would like to do that.
I don't want to do that. But I will say this.
I'm going to make a one-off for me.
I will say this. Speaking of one-offs, I will say this. We're not going to make a bunch of these things now. So a lot of this stuff is limited. We're going to try and
get it while it's hot is what you're saying.
Get it while it's hot. We're going to try and come out with new things like it's a season. So this season's mug might not be next season's mug.
Yeah.
And this season's mask might not be next season's mask.
Yeah, I'll tell you what next season's mug is. Daniel and Joelle.
Hey.
I love that.
I love it too.
Yeah.
But you guys got to do the same pose that we're doing in the.
Yeah, you guys got to snuggle on. You're gonna have to. Wear masks or something.
No
or Photoshop
love
or something.
That bear. No problem.
Oh, guys, I can't wait to hang out. You guys realize when the apocalypse is over, we're gonna all be able to be in a studio together doing this. It'll be so much more fun.
We're gonna have video of the first time we meet, like cameras.
Oh my
out,
gosh!
I can't wait. You know what I'm excited about? The studio to be stacked with like Kit Kats and.
You don't even have the best snacks.
Twizzlers.
I'm trying to get this fish and chips off my hips.
Yeah, no doubt. But when you go to the studio to record, that's where all the good snacks are. Yo.
Donald, don't you fret at all. Our studio, oh my gosh, that was a place. It was guaranteed stocked.
One of my British friends said to me, you know, Zach, you don't, just because you're here, it doesn't mean that you have to have fish and chips for every meal.
Oh, did you eat like that?
And I said, why would I eat something that's not fish and chips?
I was in New York. I had a bagel with lox and cream cheese every single morning because it was like, why am I not going to do that? Like, why am I not?
When in Rome. And we don't have fish and chips on every corner here in Los Angeles. All right, we're going to go to break and we're going to come back with a caller that is going to blow your fucking mind. They're so good.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
And we're back.
But look, man, during the break, we were talking about The Mandalorian and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you guys something right now. The Mandalorian is good, and I'm really excited about it. But there's one show that I'm equally excited about.
What's that?
And that is Cobra Kai Season 3, dude. I'm telling y'all right now, man, y'all can sit here and say what you want to say. But me and the millions of people that are enjoying this little tiny show that is a little bit nostalgic and makes you feel like you're watching The Karate Kid all over again, Cobra Kai is so much fun. This is my second recommendation of the episode.
Do they keep cutting back to the original movies?
There's a bit of the original movies in this. There's a lot of the original movie in this. But it takes place however many years to, you know, when Danny won the California Karate Championship. It takes place however many years it is to now. It takes place to then. And it doesn't follow Daniel LaRusso, really. It follows Johnny.
Ralph Macchio's not in it.
He's in it. But he's like the bad guy, dude. He's like the dick.
Is Pat Morita alive?
No, Pat Morita passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that. And what about other characters?
So Johnny is in it.
Elizabeth Shue. I asked about that last time.
They tease that she might be in the next season.
I don't know why she wouldn't do it.
But look, I'm telling you right now, man, it's about Johnny and him trying to restart Cobra Kai. And it is fucking so much fun. It's like got just the right amount of cheese, just the right amount of nostalgia, just the right amount of comedy that you sit there and you laugh and enjoy yourself. So if you are a Karate Kid fan, the original Karate Kid fan, and it's executive produced by Will Smith, so how could you hate on it, y'all? Will Smith's involved.
Oh, by the way, they're going to do a Fresh Prince Bel-Air reunion, and he and the aunt that hate each other, they made up.
That's great. That's good, great. But look,
Donald never wants to comment on that. Last time that came up, do you remember, Joel?
I have no idea what you're talking about. But if if you are a fan,
it's like
of
when Howard Stern. It's like on Howard Stern. Whenever
Cobra Kai, no mercy. Mercy is for the weak.
It's like on Howard Stern. Whenever mobsters come up, he talking about mobsters, he always changes the subject. He's like, I don't know anything about that. Changing the subject, and that's how Donald is about the
Mercy
Will Smith
is for the weak.
Aunt, what's her name? Conflict.
Shall I let the guest in?
Yes, please. Thank you,
Johnny Lawrence.
Oh my goodness.
Speaking of Johnny,
Daniel LaRusso.
We have a Johnny.
All right, here we go. Here we go, Joel.
John. Big John!
John Broadbent, how are you, sir?
Hi!
Big John!
Oh, my God.
Hi, John. Hey. Hi, John.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
Good, good. Very good. How are you guys?
Welcome to the program. We're very happy to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about yourself. Where are you? What do you do? What's life like being John Broadbent?
I'm in a town called Nelson in New Zealand.
Nice. Whoa.
Yeah. Home of Lord of the Rings. Actually, home of the One Ring that was made here.
Amen.
But that was the ring to rule them all. So, you know, hey.
Definitely. There's actually like a shop in town where you can go like check it out and buy a copy of it if you want.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. I love watching your show. We love listening to the podcast.
Thank you, man. This is exciting. We've never had a New Zealand caller. What time is it there? It's probably Wednesday at some... What time on Wednesday is it?
Correct. Wednesday, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Okay.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so sorry I'm not drinking. I've got to go to work after this.
No, well, we're not drinking today either. Zach isn't drinking today. I'm not drinking today.
No,
Joel's not
best.
Drinking.
It's probably best if we don't drink.
We've decided that we're going to take a little break from the drinking on the podcast.
Yeah, it's they involve too much editing when we drink. John, what's tomorrow like? What's tomorrow like?
I wish I could tell you the lotto numbers.
Oh man.
And I wish I could tell you the sky would clear for you guys. I'm really worried about that. Hope everything works out.
We appreciate
out,
that. Thank you.
Well, you guys experienced that too, didn't you, when the fires were happening in Australia? Didn't New Zealand get some of that too?
Good call. Actually, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, my whole town was on fire. And
holy shit.
It was a bit scary for a bit. Yeah.
I didn't know that, a bit of trivia, that when a horrible fire was happening in Australia, that it was happening in New Zealand as well.
Yeah, it was a pretty long story. The end result, though, was one fire was started by a farmer, but there's like some copycat annoying person lit some other ones, and he was caught eventually, but he was caught by some nudists at a nudist camp.
They probably wheelbarrowed him to the ground. They probably wheelbarrowed his ass to the ground.
They definitely. That's a good, it's not only a good way to have sex, it's a good way to tackle someone. Just
noted.
Oh yeah, write that down in your notes there, guys. I don't want anyone who's listening to this to think that we don't teach you things. You can wheelbarrow in multiple situations.
we've already fixed John's life.
Yeah, we didn't even have to. Yeah, John, when all else fails, wheelbarrow it. John, what do you do down there in New Zealand?
Full-time, I'm sort of a IT guy / PA / admin for a realtor. On the side, I make T-shirts. I actually... inspired by the podcast and you guys going on about WAP, I thought of a design. I don't know if you,
yeah.
If you
can see. Oh, I hope it's some, the one I just mentioned.
Can you see that?
Cat donkey WAP.
Oh, oh, wait, wrong way around.
No, you're no. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. wet ass pussy. That's great. We love
that's
that.
A wet ass.
Wait, hold it up. Hold it up, John. So, just for you listening at home, it's an icon of some water droplets, an icon of a donkey or ass, and an icon of a cat. I would love to have one of those if you want to send it to my way.
I will. When I want some, I haven't printed one yet, but you can have the first
one. We've been listening. We listen to that song a lot in my house. It really gets us going and inspires.
You know what my
us.
Part is? You what? Know what my part in the song is? I want to choke. I want you to touch that dangling thing in the back of my throat. That shit gets me every time. I laugh so hard every time. I laugh so hard every time. I want to choke. I want you to touch that dangling thing in the back of my throat.
Do you think she wrote that? Did she write that?
Yes. I hope she did. Oh, please, God, make
but
her
I mean,
have written that.
When you look at the WAP writers, are there like 400 people? I'd like to think that
I've
she
I've never
wrote
looked
the
at
lyric.
The WAP, the, who wrote WAP. I
Daniel,
hope it just
Daniel,
says.
Daniel and Joelle, find out for us. I want to know how many writers are on the WAP. Because those
that line doesn't
are,
get you every time. That
it's
line
hilarious.
Gets me every time.
It's hilarious, as you say. But I really want to think that she wrote it.
She wants you to touch that dangling thing in the
you know
back
what it's
of
called?
Her throat.
I know what it's called. Do you? I'm a fake doctor.
From now on, it's called the dangling thing.
It's called the uvula.
I want to choke. I want you to touch that dangling thing in the back of my throat.
Uvula. Now, listen, John, I'm glad you just came on because I have an idea for a t-shirt that we can't really mass market.
Okay, I'm taking notes.
Yeah, I think it should say I apostrophe D, I'd, and then an icon like you've done on yours of a doc.
Okay.
And then the Leo astrological sign. Okay. So just like yours. Yours is perfect, but with those three things instead of yours.
I'll do that next. Perfect. That is genius.
And if you send those to me and Donald, we will make sure that your t-shirt Instagram is fully promoted.
Much appreciated. I'll definitely do that one next.
And make sure you make an XXL for Donald because he's a large man.
Okay.
I don't mean fat, Donald. I mean muscular. You have
I'm
broad
not,
shoulders.
I'm not worried about how you perceive my body to look.
No, you have broad shoulders. You're a large man. You
sure.
need an XXL.
However you want to look at it. You could give me a triple X if you got it, too. I'll sleep in it. How about
it's
that,
hard.
John?
It's hard. Sizing t-shirts
John,
is
sleep
hard.
Sleep in it. I'll sleep in it. Well, listen,
John, do you find what Donald?
Have you ever what, you getting mad at me?
Yeah, because I'm trying to fucking talk to John about my iDoc Leo t-shirt.
Okay, fucking go ahead. Get your iDoc Leo t-shirt conversation finished.
John, don't you find that sizing t-shirts is very hard because no one thinks they're the size they are? When I made Wish I Was Here merch through the Kickstarter thing we did, it was a nightmare because I didn't know that doing merch was so hard. Eventually we hired a company to help us, but people don't think they're the size they are. And then you send a shirt to New Zealand and it takes fucking a month and they get it and they're like, "What the fuck is this? This isn't a women's petite small." And you're like, "I don't know your fucking size, bro."
yes, very, very hard. I used to sell them at the Saturday market we have here in town, and I'd have a lot of people ask if they can try them on, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Probably couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
No, them days is over, bro.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
You probably can't ever try clothes on again.
No, you can try clothes. That's bullshit, man. Get out of here. Well, try clothes on.
Maybe in 2024, but who's going to fucking let you go try... No one wants you to go in the store
nah,
and put your fucking COVID all over the shirt.
Nah,
and they'd be like, sorry, anyway. I need a petite. And then you fucking.
No, nah, that shit's over anyway. I can't imagine that happening. No. Anyway, all right, hit the songwriters.
Okay, Belcalis Almanzar.
That's
Megan
Cardi
P.
B.
Oh, that's her real name?
Yeah.
Oh, and then wow. Megan P. is
Belcalis Almanzar is Cardi B's real name. Megan Pete, I'm assuming, is Megan. Mm-hmm. And then James Foy III, Austin Owens, and Frank Rodriguez. So we don't know if James Foy III came up with the hit the uvula joke.
No, that's not what she says. She says, I want to choke. I want you to touch that dangling thing in the back of my throat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Oh, Oh man, it's the lyrics. It's such poetry, you know. The 17th century had Shakespeare. We got that.
I crack up with the Mack truck part as well.
Yes.
Joelle goes, yes.
It's hilarious.
Like with the noise and everything.
Yeah, it's a great song. If we were allowed to play music for you here, we would play it. But all we have is Donald singing it. That's all we're allowed to do. Donald, if you cover it, like fully cover it, and Dan can help you
Somebody did cover it. They did an 80s version of the WAP song, and it is so dope,
slaps,
dude.
It slaps.
It's tight, dude. It's like...
Oh, I wish we were allowed to play that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can.
Maybe we can if we contact the person and it's a cover. Maybe we can. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if we have enough time.
Okay. Sorry, let's focus. John, yes. So far, you're beating our last guest by far, but that was not a hard feat to achieve.
He's excited. Look how excited he got.
I want the audience to know that we actually have a guest that seems pleased to be on the show, which is very exciting. Do you have a question for us related to anything?
Let us segue from music. I have a question for you, Zach, and don't worry, Donald got one for you afterwards. Zach, if you were to write a musical, what would it be about, and how would you incorporate a stunt involving a zipline?
Oh my God, everyone's now making fun of me for loving the zipline episode. Jesus. I do love a good zipline joke. I don't know if you know that. I directed that episode, John.
No way.
Yeah. True story. First one. And very tricky to direct yourself sliding down a zipline, but I managed to do it. You know, I'm just going to say the first thing that comes to my mind, because someone asked, I think it was Josh Charles, the actor, who put on Twitter, like, what's a great movie that should be a musical? Because, of course, now they're making – well, every theater is entirely on pause for the moment. But everyone's making movies into theater. And because it was Josh Charles who said it, my brain instantly went to Dead Poets Society, which I thought would be – which is a movie I really, really love. And it's probably one of my favorite movies. And I thought, wow, that would be really conducive to be a musical. Now, that's not really an original idea, but since you asked me and I just put on Twitter, I replied to Josh Charles that should be. And then I got a lot of attention because people were like, yeah, fuck yeah, that's a good idea. So there's my answer.
If it were up to me, if I could do a musical, making one up is too hard. That's like a conundrum, dude. That's one of those things where you... It takes forever to write music, to write a story, to write all of that stuff takes forever. But if I could make a musical out of a movie, it would definitely be The Princess Bride. I think that would be a funny musical.
Yes. I can't believe that's not in the. I mean, that's such like everybody's favorite movie. I can't believe it's probably got to be in the works, right?
That would be amazing. I think that's and if you could somehow still keep that type of humor in the movie. I mean, in the musical as well, that would be great. Without losing, you know, stop that rhyming, I mean it. Anybody want a peanut? If you could freaking still somehow keep that shit. Where am I? The pits of despair. You know, I would love to hear a musical number about rodents of unusual size. I'm just saying.
Okay, there we are. Awesome. Now, John, next question for Donald.
Yes.
Go.
All right, Star Wars question.
Oh, Jesus.
You guys transcend my two loves. I love musicals and I love Star Wars. So
it's our baby. It's our son. It's our son, Zach.
Our son lives in New Zealand.
So when Disney bought Star Wars,
I bet you love weed too.
Oh, I tried some in Canada, but I don't hear.
Okay. I guess you can't. Maybe you can't get weed in New Zealand. I don't know. It might be hard down there.
Yeah, we can, but
they could get weed in New Zealand. That shit's a weed. It grows anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. When Disney bought Star Wars and they declared all of the expanded universe as non-canon, what book or comic series or EU stuff did you miss? Like, did you feel saddest for?
Oh, wow. Joelle's like on the verge of tears.
I was very happy that the Yuuzhan was out of the whole thing. I wasn't a fan of that.
You didn't like the New Jedi Order?
I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that something from outside of the... I like the stories of the Sith and the Jedi and this new enemy that comes from out of nowhere and is, you know, resistant to the Force and all of that stuff. It just seemed like, all right, so we have this galaxy that seems to have a balance. Let's fuck up the galaxy. How can we fuck it up? Let's just throw some impossible enemy at them. And you know what I mean? And I thought that was a cop-out. So I didn't like that. My the things that I did like were all of the stories about Han Solo's kids.
Yes.
And Leia's kids and Luke's kid and you know what I mean? And even the stories of their grandchildren and stuff like that, and their great-great-grandchildren and stuff like that. All of that stuff was really cool stories that made a lot of sense. You know what I mean? It made sense that Leia had twins and, yeah. You know, one turned to the dark side and, you know, one, because that's what you wanted for Luke and Leia to happen, you know, to happen to Luke and Leia. One turns to the dark side, and then the other one has to go kill their brother. Like, it's the next version of father and son or mother and daughter. And I liked hearing about that lineage. Now, that being said, that does get a little bit redundant after a while, and nobody wants to hear about, you know, the Skywalkers and the Solos forever and ever and ever. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, that sounds.
Let me finish. I'm not done. Just wait a second. So that being said, I like the Old Republic stuff. I think maybe that's the next direction that they should go. I know they're doing this High Order and all of that, and Yoda is going to be in it. I think that's the right way to go. I think yes. There's something special about seeing a bunch of red lightsabers clash against green, blue, and purple. There's something. If you could find a way
Testify.
To do Braveheart with Jedi.
Testify. Yes.
That'd be great. So,
I was waiting.
All right. That feels like you did a great job answering it, Donald. I felt satisfied. I'm sure everyone that loves Star Wars feels satisfied. Joelle, for example, yelled testify.
Yes.
Now, John, it's time for everybody's favorite new segment, Fix Your Life. As you well know from being a fan of the show, Donald and I are pretty great, I think exceptional, at fixing people's lives. Your problem could be big or small. We can handle it.
Okay,
so, John,
yes.
It's time to fix your life!
Oh, God. Okay, so I have actually a dog problem. And she's in the room with me right now because she's...
So, can I see her?
Yeah, just you want to come up? Just come on. Come on,
puppy! Come on.
Ready?
Say hi.
Here you go.
Oh,
what a cutie. She's
so
sweet. She's beautiful. Yeah, go ahead. I can answer any dog question. I'm a dog master.
So, yeah, she's 8 years old, and she's part boxer. We've had her... Wait, we've moved down here 5 years ago from Auckland, and... In that time, she's been fine. We've been able to leave her in the yard when we go to work. And then just a month ago, she decided to escape one day and just ran around the neighborhood. And it was very stressful. It took us a whole day to find her. And she dug out under our gate, so we concreted that out so she couldn't do it again. But she still tries. And so we don't trust her at all on her own. And I've been taking her to doggy daycare and just trying to see what we can do. We're going to try her again on her own today, but I'm just...
Now, John, do you run her enough? Because I only know this from watching Caesar Milan, who I love. If you get a dog and you're new to owning a dog, obviously you're not, but I'm talking to other people, watching like every episode of Caesar is really good education because, you know, obviously it's edited to make him look like a god. But it is helpful. And I know that one thing he does, I remember an episode where a dog was constantly escaping. And part of the problem was like the dog just wanted to sprint. And, you know, he would do things like, you know, getting on rollerblades and running with the dog or getting on a bicycle and sprinting alongside the dog. But do you think the dog is getting enough? Are you exhausting the dog? Because a big dog like that needs to probably run.
Yep. Yeah. We take her to play at the park before work every morning and after work as well.
Well, then, you know, John, it really comes down to
having
to ask yourself, am I a good pet owner?
Yeah. John, I need you to put yourself in the dog's head. The dog wants to get away from you.
welcome, John. We just
you're
fixed
welcome,
your life.
John. Thank
you're welcome,
you, John.
You're welcome.
Thank you, John.
No, that's interesting. I am not a dog whisperer, and I am not a vet, and so I don't know what goes on in dogs' minds. I will say I have a dog, and, you know, I feel like dogs like to be disciplined, and I don't mean with the hand or anything like that, but given them chores to do. It's not just about running them. It's also about making them do things, and they enjoy doing that type of stuff. So, you know, maybe,
what are you saying? He should do like errands around the house, like maybe mowing.
Like, I don't know. Do you do stay, sit down, roll over, and things like that? I don't, you know, those are things to occupy a dog's mind as well.
Do you have a crate?
No. So we tried to crate train her, but she's a rescue from, we call it the SPCA here, sort of like the pound, I guess.
Oh, well, now this makes even more sense. So it's not necessarily you. Maybe where she came from before.
Yeah.
You know, and this is just something psychological.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure, but have you tried working with a trainer at all?
I had a lady sort of try to give me advice. I might need to get back in touch with her.
All right, well, get back in touch with the trainer, John. Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome, Donald. Say it. You're welcome.
Well, I don't feel like I fixed his life. I feel like I've put him on a path.
Yeah,
we put him on a path. We put him on a path. We said, watch Caesar, because there is an episode about an escaping dog, and Caesar fixes that guy's problem.
You have three choices. You can watch Caesar.
Yeah.
You can contact the dog trainer.
Yes.
Or you can take a good look at yourself, look at the man in the mirror.
Why are animals trying to run away from you, John?
What is it that you're doing that's
making
animals?
I'm asking you to look in the mirror. I'm asking you to make a change.
No message could have been any clearer, John.
I think she's
the dog is giving you the message.
She's trying to run to me.
Shimon, John,
if you want to make yourself a better dog owner, you got to look at yourself and then make the change.
Woo! Woo!
Make that change.
It's a great song. All right, we got to go, John. Oh. This has been awesome. You're going to get a mug. It'll probably take 4 years to get there.
Oh, can I just quickly throw back to just one previous episode where you talked about North African-American players in the NHL? At the upcoming draft in October, there's a kid called Quinton Byfield who's probably going to go second overall. So another good.
Noted.
But is he like the savior? Is he the savior? Is he the great black hype of hockey?
He's comparable to a guy called Evgeny Malkin, who plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Is he comparable to Wayne Gretzky? That's the question.
Currently only Crosby.
Is he comparable
to
Sidney Crosby?
Yeah.
These are the questions that I'm asking. Because if he's going to change the sport, like some of the white players have changed the NBA, now we're talking. But if it's just some black dude coming in because he's black and the NHL needs black faces.
He's saying that he's going to go second in the draft. Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
That's pretty high. And he could be really good.
There are a lot of – I'm not trying to hate. And I hate when I hate because hating is for suckers. And I do that a lot sometimes. And we have to edit that shit out. But I'm going to say this right now. There have been a lot of NBA players that went high in the draft thinking that they were going to be some great savior and turned out to be a bust. So just because this dude's going number
two, Sam Bowie shade?
Doesn't I'm not saying anything. Just because dude's going number two doesn't mean he's gonna make it as an NHL player. So that's great.
Yeah.
It's great that he's on his way, but we shall see.
John, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to be wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so
and
much.
He's North American, he's not African American, right? He's like from Canada.
He's from Canada.
Right? Yep, knew it. Anyway.
Thank you.
I can't wait to get my WAP t-shirt. I can't wait to get my iDocVideo t-shirt. And you're going to get a mug. I don't know how long it takes to get things to New Zealand, but look for it by the time you're 40 or 45.
I'll tell you what, when you guys come to the world tour and come down here, just bring it then. And I'll take you on a lot of
Perfect. We definitely got to do New Zealand when we go on the world tour.
I would love to go to New Zealand.
I'll take you on a tour of all the Lord of the Rings locations.
Yay!
I don't necessarily want to see the Lord of the Rings stuff. I want to see, like, yo, is... Word life, the Māori people. I want to there's a bunch of history there that I'm fascinated by. Oh, yeah. So I would love to check that out.
All right. Well, we'll be on it. We're going to be on a tour bus with all four of our faces on the side. Yes. It's going to be really, really exciting.
Awesome.
All right. We got to go, John. All thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks again. Thank you. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for John.
Easy, buddy. Yes. Take care.
Hi, John.
Yes. Oh, big
how refreshing.
John.
How refreshing to have a guest that was at least interested in talking
agreed
to us.
Agreed.
Woo.
That's I a like lot of John. Hate. That's a lot
he was
of
good.
Hate.
He was good.
All right.
Well, we're almost done, but let's talk about Leslie Baker.
I was about to say, we had Stanley from The Office on the
Stanley
show.
Stanley from The Office, who I love and have put in like the short film I made. He was in Wish I Was Here. I always think that guy's so funny. And here he is. This was before The Office.
Well, yes, it
obviously
was.
He wouldn't be doing the show if it wasn't before The Office. And there he is. And he has a cameo. He only has one line in which he outs to Carla that you've been talking about having sex with Elliot during surgery.
Yep. Not me, but Turk does.
Yeah,
this
I think
is
the
my
audience,
point.
I think the audience this knows is, how to delineate between you and your character.
I'm just going to say, this is the point that I'm trying to make. When you keep secrets, but you keep secrets from your spouse about sex, they always find out.
No, shit always comes out.
It always comes out. So your best bet
yeah
is to not tell anyone you had a sex fantasy. Keep that shit to yourself.
Right.
And then you'll never be in this situation ever.
Yep. I laughed hard when Sam Lloyd at 1620 says something. He goes, I just have that one dream where I hold his head under the water until the last bubble goes. And then there's like a long pause and he goes, bloop,
bloop.
Talking about killing Kelso. That's all. Yeah. All that's his only dream that he has recurring.
And then Kelso walks by and says something.
Yeah, go get me something.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm still waiting on that, whatever it is. And
it was Oreos or something.
Yeah, those Oreos. He goes, bloop.
And then I forgot that there was a Luft Balloons callback with Amy Smart and the parents dancing. I totally forgot we did that. That was funny.
I have a question. Why didn't JD take her aside at the restaurant? Why did he run up to the table with these two people there? It's clear that she's there with these two people, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the shot is him running up to a table of her and people.
Yeah.
Why not be like, hey, you know what? Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah. And why would he do that in front of anyone? He talks about having sex at her husband's funeral.
Yeah.
What
like,
a dick.
Like, moron, they don't want to hear that shit.
It's probably the reason I'm assuming she's not back.
I think he ruined it.
Is she done? Does she have another one? I forgot.
I don't know, but she was so great on the episode. She was so great in the show. Yeah. When she's on your back and he's like, I know you got a Tasty Coma wife on your mind. You're like, no, I don't. And she jumps on your back and she goes, yeah, you do. And then you nudge her off and she goes flying.
She's really
off.
Funny. I don't
she's
know why.
So funny.
I don't know. She must be on a show. I haven't seen her.
She
that
is.
Much.
She's on Stargirl, actually, which is a Berlanti show that's
oh,
in
go.
The Arrowverse.
Got it.
She, believe it or not, plays a mother now of a teenage girl. That's how far we've come.
That's how old we are.
Well, I'm not going to say old. I'll say that's how far we've come.
She is now. Did a great job on her arc. I don't know if it's over, but I assume
she's
it's
still
over.
A very good actress, and
yeah.
she does great on the show. I'm a fan of the show, and
yeah,
you know.
And then that baby at the end, I just have to say, as someone who appreciates an adorable baby, they cast that baby well.
Oh, all babies are cute.
That's not true. And this baby.
No. All babies are cute. Even when they're born. Look, man. That's.
I can say I didn't know it was controversial to say that some babies are cuter than other babies.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a baby.
Yeah, and I'm going to love it. I'm not saying the parents don't think it's cute, but I'm saying that there are
and
some.
And you'll
babies,
understand what I'm talking about.
I know that if it's my baby, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to think it's the cutest baby. I'm just saying clearly they cast a particularly adorable baby to smile at Johnny C and have him fall in love and have his eyes well at the end. Oh, Joelle just told me that she is back for another one. She's back for 221. So I knew it. And then we're getting close to being done with this season two, guys. I got to tell you, we got three more left, it looks like.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So what happens then after we finish season two? Are we going to go right into season three or are we going to take a break?
Well, we just took a break. Should we keep going?
It's up to you, man. It's
really
up to...
I don't want the fans to stop counting on us. I a lot of people rely on us for their week bi-weekly smile.
I agree with that. I
don't want to let anybody down.
That's the last thing I want to do, too.
We're working on Ryan Reynolds. I've had some top secret. Yeah, I think we have a chance. Ooh. I think we have a chance.
Does he know I'm sorry?
I don't think he remembers, but I hope that he will talk about it if and when we get him on the show.
Oh my goodness.
But I did speak with him via email, and it's a work in progress.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
So
you think I should reach out to him? You think I should reach out
to him? No, I don't want you to fuck up any momentum I've made.
Okay.
You might get drunk and dry hump him over Zoom.
No, I'm not going to get drunk and dry hump anybody over Zoom.
Can you dry hump? I guess you could dry hump the camera.
Well, did you see the video of the dude in the middle of the meeting on Zoom? And he thinks he blacks the camera out. And so he switches over to his browser. And you see him get up, walk to the bathroom, go get lotion and toilet paper.
No.
Sets the toilet paper down and sets the lotion down. And they're all like, no. Richard, no.
I think that's
no.
A viral ad.
And he goes.
That's not
and puts
real.
The, and puts that's the lotion
gotta be,
on.
That's got to be a joke.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. If that's not a joke, that's the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard of in my life.
But if it is a joke, good kudos. Yeah,
good joke. All right, everybody. We love you. We're back.
Yay.
We're back, back. I'm back in L.A. Daniel's back in L.A. We're all together.
Joelle and I never left L.A.
We've just been here chilling, staying safe.
I listen, L.A. gets a lot of shit out there, but I got to tell you, it's even when it's smoky, it's a beautiful place to live.
It's great to be back.
Yeah.
It is great to be back. It's always great to come home. You know what I mean? I'm so happy that you guys made it home safely.
Thanks,
man. I'm so happy that it went well, Daniel, with her parents.
How did you meet? How did you meet?
Hinge.
Bumble? Oh, Hinge.
Yeah.
What's the catch of Hinge? What's the hook?
The Hinge is Facebook friends. So everybody you match with or everybody that you see on Hinge, you have a Facebook friend in common. So
just
that is
one
your
Facebook
Hinge. I mean, you only need to have one.
Oh.
And as a matter of fact, we did.
Oh, all right.
More than one
there
or
you
just
go.
One?
Hinge worked.
Just one. It did.
Donald, you missed this whole app dating world.
I'm going to be honest with you. It scares me just a little.
It was a scary process, I'll tell you what. Had several misfires.
Joelle, have you?
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing that I find a little different about it is that you're dating somebody that you don't really get to know.
What do? You go on a fucking date. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah.
Not on Craigslist.
You just don't have to go to a... No one's dating on Craigslist.
That's 2008 dating, Donald.
Yeah, dude. That's the last time he went on a date is Craigslist time. Joelle, are you using any of the apps to find love?
Not during quarantine because that just seems wild to me.
But what about chat? You could chat. You could do your game. Shoot your shot.
Listen, I am a in-person dater. I suck at talking. What am I saying? What do I care? I gotta be known in person. Like, I'm... No.
What if you went on Hinge or whatever one and you found someone who you thought was attractive, who all they wanted to do was talk about Star Wars and loved a gummy at night? You know, this person might be out there.
I'm sure the person is out there. I would be terrible at talking to them over the app. It wouldn't be their fault.
I have
it
a
would
question.
Be my fault. It would be terrible.
Well, if you're interested in Joelle, if you're listening and you're interested in Joelle, she's very pretty and very funny.
I have a question.
What?
Over apps, is it okay to be like, I had a crazy sex dream about you yesterday?
Not recommended.
Not recommended over apps either.
Not recommended.
So don't do it on
Joelle,
apps
you know
it
would be funny? If you do develop a profile, I think we could blast out your profile eventually.
Oh, my God.
And we could all talk about the encounters you're having.
Woo! That sounds like quite an event. I'm going to keep sliding in the DMs, but who knows?
Okay. Oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah. You know, you follow people, you see who they follow, you get a rough idea of their like thought opinions on the world, and then you're just like, yo, we should hang. And then
So you be sliding into the people's DMs?
Yeah, DM slides.
Yeah.
Now, so if
it's
you
okay,
are.
It's okay, she's already in my DMs. Mom being great today, gotta be great.
Oh my God.
Okay, so listen, if you're a hot, smart, intelligent chick.
Destroyed my Instagram.
hit up Joelle because she is a catch. I think she's witty and smart and has a good job and very pretty. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
I gotta record this.
Everybody, let's play. Let's set up Joelle with her dream person.
God, I love it.
Right, Donald?
I'm horrified.
Yeah. And Donald and I will officiate your wedding.
Have you been talking to my mother? All for it. Are you guys in cahoots? planning things?
All right. We gotta go. We've been going long. Oh my God,
Joelle! I'm gonna laugh my ass off when your freaking DMs open up with nothing. Joelle,
they're going to explode.
Because that shit's always hilarious. Like I'll post something like my animation, and I look at what the fans say if they like the animation and stuff like that. And every now and then you get that one that says hi or hello.
And in response to hi or hello, you have to actually have a thought. And
All right, so there you go.
If you're a fan, I don't have any desire to partner with a fan. That weirds me out. I don't know, there's like a weird power exchange there that I'm not comfortable with. So don't try that.
All right, listen, she's giving you tips. So be real. Say hi.
No
don't
hello.
Don't just say hi. Don't just say hello. Don't be like, you up.
Definitely right. None of that.
Yeah. This is going to be fun. I think this could be a new segment called Find Joelle a Lover.
No, it's Let's Make Joelle's Mama Happy.
Oh, yeah.
And Find Joelle a Lover.
It's time for another edition of Let's Make Joelle's Mother Happy and Find Joelle a Lover.
Oh, no. Oh, that's too much.
I'm excited. This is fun. I love being a
matchmaker?
A matchmaker.
I love being a matchmaker. I set Donald up. Look how well that went.
That did work out
for
him.
I'm married. I got kids. We still don't got no air conditioning.
On that note, thank you all for tuning in. And Donald, you may count us in with the beautiful numbers that everybody loves.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a